Welcome to Foresight Friday Roundup, Foresight Health's podcast series for healthcare revolutionaries. Outcomes matter, customers count, and value rules. Hello again, everyone. This is Dave Berta, news editor at Foresight Health. It is Friday, May 28th. On today's episode of the Roundup, we're going to talk about health insurance. I know, it's everyone's favorite topic if you're a health policy wonk. That is, except when it's your insurance and you're trying to get a new prescription or lab test covered. So today we're going to talk about health insurance profitability, courtesy of a new report from the Kaiser Family Foundation, and health insurance market competition, courtesy of a new report from the Urban Institute. To tell us how health insurance markets work are Dave Johnson, founder and CEO of Foresight Health, and Julie Murchison, partner at Transformation Capital. Hi, Dave. Hi, Julie. How are you guys doing this morning? Dave?
We're gearing up for Memorial Day weekend. Unfortunately, our local Woogums parade won't happen because of COVID. Woogums stands for Wellington Oakdale Old Glory Marching Society. It starts at Woogums Alley about a block and a half from our house, and they've been doing that since the 60s. Everybody marches, nobody watches. But I guess I'll have to find another parade to work on this year. So
that's great that you knew what that stood for. Julie, how about you?
Well, I will be locked in a convention center for 3 days in our new reality of you have to be vaxxed or you have to be tested for my daughter's volleyball tournament. So it's going to be a super fun weekend.
Oh, great. Well, good luck to her.
Thanks.
Now, before we talk about health insurance, let's talk about your experiences with your health plan coverage. Dave, any disputes with your plan over benefits?
Where to begin? The list is long. I used to think that veterinary healthcare was better than human healthcare, you know, transparent pricing, a medical home, great primary care, coordinated specialty care. And then we bought pet health insurance. And it's the same old scary nightmare all over again. I can take you through all kinds of time about what we've been doing to try to treat one of our cat's eye ailments, but I won't pain you with that.
So the eye problem's not covered, huh?
Well, we'll see.
All right. Good luck. All right, Julie, how about you? Any recent claim denials or disputes?
Well, not in that category, but I'm on an HSA, and I'll tell you, I throw that card down for every single thing that could possibly count as health just to push the envelope. And my most recent was my introduction to the world of orthodontics, which clearly no one pays for but me.
Yeah, I've been down that road 3 times. Good luck to you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Julie. I'm waiting for my health plan to approve a CPAP machine for my sleep apnea. What's interesting about that is my doctor kept telling me, if you have sleep apnea, you could die. If you have sleep apnea, you could die. If you have sleep apnea, you could die. Well, of course, I tested positive for sleep apnea, and now I think I'm going to die. But then my doctor tells me I have to wait up to 3 weeks for insurance approval and then another week to teach me how to use the machine. So I guess I wasn't going to die, at least for another 4 weeks, and we get to tape this episode. So good news.
Don't die, Dave.
All right. Not yet. All right. Dave, tell us about Kaiser's analysis on profitability by health plan type, and what's your take on the findings?
As the old Frank Sinatra song observed, it was a very good year for health insurance companies in 2020. So help me out here. We're living through the greatest healthcare crisis in over a century. And despite all the COVID treatment costs, healthcare spending actually decreased in 2020 from 2019. Did you just hear what I said? For the first time in US history, year over year, healthcare expenditures actually went down. Incredible. Only in America and only during a healthcare crisis. Less healthcare spending, however, was great news for health insurers. Let's go to the numbers. Kaiser breaks out private health insurance into 4 buckets: individual market, group market, Medicare Advantage, and Medicaid managed care. All 4 categories saw gross margins increase in 2020. Gross margins are the difference between premium revenues and insurance payouts or medical loss ratios. In the individual market, they were up 6%. In the group market, they were up 16%. In the Medicare Advantage market, they were up 24%. And in the Medicaid managed care market, they were up a whopping 45%. Now, a few caveats. Gross margins do not include administrative expenses or taxes, so they have to come out before you get the net margin. And per the Affordable Care Act, insurers need to rebate premium revenues to customers if medical loss ratios, what a term, are less than 85%. And finally, there's some speculation that pent-up demand for elective procedures may push those medical loss ratios up in 2021. But so far, there isn't any evidence that that is happening. And when you look at the actual earning reports of the publicly traded health insurance companies, they obviously did really well. Anthem's net income was $1.7 billion, up 9%. Centene was $699 million, up 7%. Humana, $828 million, up unbelievably 75%. Molina, $278 million, up 28%. And the big dog, United Healthcare, net income was $4.9 billion, and that was up 44%. So to summarize, insurers sifted through a big pile of horse dung that was COVID-19, and they found a pony.
An expensive one at that. That's great.
Yeah.
Julie, what's your reaction to the Kaiser report, and what does it say about how health plans make money now and in the future?
Well, I think we've all known this was going to be the case for a couple years as things restabilized and we find our new normal. And we really understand what the impact of virtual care will be, especially as we start to look at what the real pricing around virtual care will be ultimately. So I don't think this is the first time we're going to see headlines like this or a report like this, and it will be interpreted in massively different ways. My favorite parts of this were looking at what a couple of the CEOs said. And Neerdorf, I think, from Centene, probably represents plans the best in his quote. Just listen to this. "This is a year with unique drivers, which we cannot be certain can continue throughout all of 2022. I would repeat it, but I'm not even sure I still fully understand it. He's definitely putting the poll out there into the future that we just don't know what's going to happen, and we'll wait and see.
Did he have a Cheshire Cat grin when he was making that statement? He feels like the cat that ate the canary.
Perhaps.
Yeah, I think that's code for your premiums are going to go up.
Seriously. You know, Anthem CEO Gail Boudreaux said that MA enrollment, Medicare Advantage enrollment, was up 50% year over year in the first quarter. So they're seeing a lot of uptick in the government business there. Karen Lynch, CEO of CVS Aetna, said that their role in administering COVID-19 tests and vaccines has actually lured new customers in. She noted that about 9% of customers new to CVS for a COVID test later returned to the pharmacy to fill a prescription. So their business model is clearly working for them. So, you know, as Dave already pointed out, the bright spots here are really not necessarily on the commercial side of the business. They've certainly been on the government side of the business, the Medicare Advantage. We even saw some upticks in Medicaid managed care enrollment that, not surprisingly, just given the upticks in Medicaid in general. And all of those upticks in the government business definitely offset lags on the commercial side. And analysts noted the sharp increase in margins that Dave talked about without an equivalent increase in administrative costs, which to them indicates that the health insurance markets have become more profitable during the pandemic. And I'll just say from our business and what we see health plans doing, you're seeing a lot of investment today, or at least proposed investment in cleaning up the shop, looking at technology systems, trying to be more efficient, investing in things that will actually ease payment systems between payers and providers. So I'd like to look at the silver lining of this, as there will be some goodness coming out of this that might decrease the cost of care. I just don't know who's going to take that money off the table. Or maybe I do.
Great. Dave, anything to add to Julie's comments?
Julie, I hope you're right about the investment, and I particularly hope you're right about investment that creates vertically integrated delivery companies, so the insurers getting into the provider business and vice versa. As you just kind of look at 2020, the insurance companies were singing on their way to the banks, like we've been talking about. Providers needed a government bailout. And these performance disparities reflect a badly malfunctioning marketplace, in my humble opinion. And this isn't rocket science. Providers with health insurance plans did much better financially than those without health insurance plans. And so what we need in this country is more vertically integrated health companies that can manage care risk for distinct populations to serve customers' interests and drive better outcomes. Right now, we've got a version of a shell game where, from the health insurer's perspective, it's heads I win, tails you lose, at least vis-a-vis the providers. And that's why the government had to come in to do the bailout. Just feels like this resource distribution is totally out of whack.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, it's all about aligning the right incentives for everybody. All right, now let's talk about the Urban Institute's report on health plan competition. Julie, what are the headlines from the report, and what does the report say about health plan competition?
Well, we're 8 years into the ACA marketplaces. You know, it looks like things are starting to stabilize a little bit, and we're seeing some good old-fashioned market competition, which is great. Researchers at the Urban Institute found the average benchmark premium on the exchanges fell for the third consecutive year. This year by 1.7%. Last couple of years have been in the 1 point something, 3 point something range. And by contrast, I love this point, premiums from employer-sponsored health plans have actually increased by 4% in 2019 and 2020. So we're seeing some good activity on the exchanges compared to employer-based. When you look at the states, researchers found significant variation in premium levels between states. For example, Minnesota reported the lowest average benchmark premium at $292 a month, and the highest was almost right next door in Wisconsin at $782 per month. That is a big swing. 43 states saw their average premiums fall, with a single state seeing an increase above 6%. And there were 10 states where the average benchmark premiums topped $500. So a lot of state variation. But, you know, overall, the theme is that competition is good. You know, one of the key trends that's slowing premium growth is more insurers are actually expanding their offerings on the exchanges, or some insurers, nationals in particular, coming back into the marketplace to offer plans. And premium levels were closely tied to the number of insurers in the marketplace. So the lower number of insurers in a region, the higher the premium. So it's good old-fashioned economics. A rating area with a single insurer had a premium that was nearly $150 higher than rating areas with five or more payers in a marketplace. And historically, you know, the blues have kind of dominated on these exchanges, but they're seeing competition from Medicaid managed care plans like Centene. National plans have kind of either been in and out or are sort of there, but not really fully there. And newcomers like Oscar and Bright Health are absolutely competing. Oscar has been a force in the urban markets, and Bright has consistently had the lowest silver premiums in many markets. So a lot of good competition happening.
Behold the power of competition, right? Dave, what's your takeaways from the Urban Institute report from a policy, market, and consumer perspective?
Well, I think it's almost all good news, as Julie described quite eloquently through the numbers and the dynamics. Robust market exchanges work, and they work particularly well with pro-market regulation. I grew up in Minnesota, so I'm very familiar with the Minnesota-Wisconsin divide. And as far as I'm concerned, everything changes when you go across the state line. But the reason Minnesota had the lowest benchmark premiums, at least in part, is because the state offers reinsurance for high-cost cases, and the existence of that reinsurance reduces downside risk for health plans that offer individual plans in the marketplace. It leads to more competition, tighter pricing. You know, good things flow from well-regulated, level playing field markets, and Minnesota has that. You cross over into Wisconsin, and as Julie said, the monthly premium is almost $500 higher. And I'm sure that's because they cheer for the Green Bay Packers. Just does something to their brains. Everybody knows the Vikings are the better team to cheer for. But the reality is that the Wisconsin state legislature hates Obamacare. They still haven't agreed to expand Medicaid, which is highly unusual for a Midwestern state. So they haven't done anything like Minnesota has to improve exchange performance. The states that have taken an active role in trying to increase the number of plan offerings, to limit the risk, to improve the quality of those offerings for people going onto the marketplace. They're all doing really well. And that's really the reason I think so many of the commercial insurers are getting into the market, particularly with the growing numbers of seniors going into Medicare Advantage and the growing number of states that see Medicaid managed care as a way to not only reduce healthcare costs, which they're desperate to do, but to actually improve healthcare outcomes. So I think this is a good news story, and we need to do everything we can at the state level, and I guess at the federal level too, to push more volume into the exchanges to ensure level field competition and to drive value to consumers.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Yeah, Madison, Milwaukee, and then everybody else, right? Julie, anything to add to Dave's comments? California, have any Wisconsin-like competitors?
Well, I don't think that California is doing as well as Oregon, and Washington's, you know, a bit of a holdout.
Got it. Thanks, Julie. Let's see how all this affects my out-of-pocket for my CPAP machine that's supposed to save my life. I'll keep you guys posted.
Yeah, we need you around, Dave.
Please.
All right. Now, as always on the roundup, let's talk about next week. Julie, what should we be watching for on the healthcare front?
Well, I think we're starting to see some pretty interesting integration of digital health companies out there. There was a small announcement this week that Doctors on Demand and Grand Rounds, their new company, purchased a very small, very early stage company called Included Health, which is a model designed exclusively around the LGBTQ community. And I just think you're starting to see incredible companies conceptualized and stood up to focus on things like women's health. Also, there's a lot, so many models in women's health that are really getting to what women need, more frequency, more integrated care. And I think it's, you know, you're going to see a lot more of this come into the bigger platforms and create choice.
Dave, what's on top of your healthcare tickler file next week?
Well, there was something very interesting that happened in the non-healthcare realm this week. And I don't know if you saw it, but Exxon shareholders voted to replace two of the 12 board members with individuals they believed would accelerate the company's move to cleaner energy. I mean, talk about a shot across the bow. And I was listening to that and found myself wondering if this could be a cautionary tale for publicly traded healthcare companies and the need to accelerate their push toward value-based delivery. And, you know, I'm going to start looking out to see if there is some type of shareholder activity in that direction. Toward that end, toward value-based care, there was a big announcement between Google and HCA that they're going to work together to develop health-focused algorithms. So that could be the type of thing that calms shareholders down if they don't believe that a company is going fast enough toward value.
Interesting. Maybe that algorithm will always say charge higher prices.
Not if you want effective climate change. We live in interesting times, Dave.
Yeah, we sure do.
That's for sure.
Well, thank you, Dave, and thank you, Julie. That is all the time we have for today. If you'd like to learn more about the topics we discussed, please visit our website at foresighthealth.com. You also can find a recording of this podcast and all our podcasts on the Healthcare Now Radio Network, iTunes, Spotify, and other streaming services. Subscribe now and don't miss another segment of the best 20 minutes in healthcare. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Berta for Foresight Health.